Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. It is a glorious Monday, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, and there is, as always, plenty of both. Joy Taylor, native Pittsburghonian, is joining me this morning.
Pittsburgh native, Yinzer.
Yinzer.
This was not a good weekend for me. Canes got destroyed by North Carolina.
Yeah.
I didn't hate the Dolphins' loss. It was like a good loss.
Yeah.
I'll give it a little
not too a bad.
Moral victory. Not too bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's... That Steelers game last night was a rough one.
So I feel like I've got to be a little bit of a Frazier Crane this morning, a little bit of a therapist for Pittsburgh. They've decided to turn on me all these years of supporting a great organization. And as a therapist, I occasionally give you the truth and you yell and scream at me across the therapist room. Let's all take a deep breath. Last week, I compared the 11-1 Steelers to a team I love, the Patriots, to last year's 8-0 Patriots. And I said, we were giving the Patriots last year and the Steelers this year respect and elevating them based on their history and our respect and their coach and their quarterback who's going to be a Hall of Famer and their brand. And they had earned our respect. But my job as a therapist is to be honest, go deeper, tell you things maybe you don't want to hear. And I said, last year's Patriots and this year's Steelers, you start looking at those wins, and boy, it's a bunch of cruddy teams and very hollow. And when last year did we finally realize New England was a fraud? I remember that session. It was Sunday Night Football. Baltimore came to town with an energetic, dynamic quarterback and thumped the Patriots 37-20. And New England looked old and slow and heavy-footed and offensively outdated. It's like the calendar wasn't their friend. And last night, the Steelers were finally unveiled to all of you as this young upstart team with a dynamic quarterback, Josh Allen, made the Steelers look old and slow and outdated. I'm sorry. Look at these numbers. Listen to them. 14 first downs, 47 rushing yards, 1 for 10 on third down, 24 minutes time of possession, Big Ben, passer rating of 65. This is not to say, as your therapist, there aren't qualities I admire about you. TJ Watt is virtually unblockable. And this is a great front office, and their problems are almost immediately solved in the following draft. But deep down, my client, they know the truth. Steelers, this is not a Super Bowl team. 3 straight weeks under 20 points. You don't scare anybody. You don't even really believe in your running game yourself. And oh, by the way, New England last year did win more games after that thumping on Sunday night to Lamar Jackson. And the Steelers do play the Bengals next week, and they will flex and look strong. But you know the truth. The Steelers cannot beat quality teams. And we also know this. Life evolves. We evolve. Teams evolve. Steelers good early. Steelers unveiled late. Patriots last year good early. Patriots unveiled late. And the Patriot diehards, I mean, this is very common. They made excuses. And the Steeler fans this morning, what about our injuries? Outside of the Rams, the whole damn league's banged up. It's December. It's football. Everybody hurts getting out of bed this morning. And actually, the Steelers' defense is fine. It really is. But this offense, this is not a Super Bowl team. Third down, embarrassing. Run game, non-existent. Drop passes, once again. Identity, you have none. Big Ben is 31st in the NFL in yards per attempt. That is the opposite of the Steelers, who have always physically pushed you around and then had the courage at any time, anywhere, to go deep and burn you. This is a BB gun offense. It's outdated. It's slow. And by the way, New England and Pittsburgh. New England last year, Pittsburgh this year. They'll win games. Nobody's saying Tomlin, Big Ben don't get to the Hall of Fame. Nobody's saying Belichick and Brady don't get to the Hall of Fame. Nobody's saying you'll never win a game. Nobody's saying we're all laughing at you. But this is why you go to a therapist, for somebody to tell you the truth. And this morning, Pittsburgh, the team you lost to, is a legit Super Bowl threat. They really are Buffalo. They got all the ingredients, all of them. And we all saw them last night. And you're not a Super Bowl team. Take a deep breath. It's okay. But at this point, this is just the honest, harsh truth. And painful today, solved potentially later. But Big Ben knows it. Tomlin knows it. You know it. Good team, not special. Wait till next year. Here's Big Ben.
We need to look in the mirror, and it starts with me. I need to play better football because the ball is in my hands every single play. When it's in my hands, I need to make the best decision. And right now, I'm not playing good enough football for us to win. If I don't play good enough football, then I need to hang it up. But, I still feel like I can, do enough things to help this team win football games. And I'm going to do everything I can to get us back on track.
All right. Enough with being a therapist. Now let's talk about Jalen Hurts and Philadelphia. A lot of Pennsylvania stories today. So Jalen Hurts got the start, ran around, and won the game. So it's time for another edition of Let's Massively Overreact American Sports Media to a quarterback who runs better than he throws, and it's Monday, and he's going to change the NFL. Tim Tebow didn't, Kaepernick didn't, Taysom Hill's not, and Jalen Hurts is not. And Lamar Jackson's not. Unique, as we say, multiple times a year. It always works. Always. The Wildcat worked. It just rarely lasts. And last night, the Saints were on their heels. They didn't know what to expect. They kind of sat back and said, all right, here's a bunch of plays we've never seen. And unique works. And Jalen Hurts, yes, was fun. He gave them an identity. The play calling, it was kind of synthesized down to the very core of what he does. Doug Peterson's like, this kid can move. Let's move him. And it's fun. And actually, Philadelphia's defense seemed to respond. They played great. But can the media stop constantly overreacting to unique in the NFL? Jalen is unique. He was the runner more than a thrower, but certainly, like Taysom Hill, capable of throwing. But in the NFL, you watched that game last night. The Saints sat back. Let's be honest. Philadelphia didn't really know how their offense would work last night. They didn't know. So the Saints didn't know. And as I said last week, even if Jalen Hurts wins, it doesn't solve the bigger issue. You backed up a Brinks truck for Carson Wentz, and you owe him $100 million plus. Last night doesn't solve that. Maybe you can move him, maybe you can't. And here's the thing, though. With all young quarterbacks, and especially the quarterbacks that appear to be very fond and very special at the art of running, it's a series. It's a progression. It's a series of boxes. So last night, Jalen Hurts checked the first. Can you win games? Check. He can win a game. The next box, can you win several games? Looks like he could. Can you win playoff games? So last night, the first box is checked. He can win a game. Now it's several and playoff games. Since the 1970s, something has always been true in the NFL. You got to sit in the pocket and throw to win. To win big. I mean, big. Conference championships, second round, Super Bowls. And that's just the way it is. Unique can work briefly, but you got to sit and throw the football. Last night, Jalen Hurts averaged about 5 yards a pass attempt and completed like 57% of his throws. Again, it's the first game. the timing could not have been great. It's the first time he's practiced as a starter all week. But congrats to Jalen Hurts. It made the – it was funny. We were watching Taysom Hill and Jalen Hurts. You're kind of watching a mirror image of each other. We're not sure if they're going to be franchise game. I thought the game was wildly entertaining. And Jalen added energy. I do believe Philadelphia feels like last night anyway, yesterday, it's a little bit of an identity. It's a little bit of an identity. And I'm happy for the kid. But there are still many boxes to check. Here's Doug Peterson.
Is Jalen your starter next week? And if so, what will the challenge be, you know, now that more tape is out on him?
You know, I'm gonna enjoy this one. I'm gonna go home and relax and be with my family tonight and enjoy this win and get ready for the week.
All right, let's just give the coach a break. Go home, hang out with family, watch the film. Congrats to Jalen, and for that matter, Taysom Hill. But let's not go crazy. Let's add. Our job is to add a little bit of context to this. Of course, the Saints were a little lost. They'd never seen it. They didn't know it was coming. They were on their heels. And Philadelphia played with a purpose and identity and real defense. Good for the Eagles. Good day for the Eagles. All right, coming up next. You know, we talk about this. Great losses and bad wins. I got to tell you, I thought the worst win yesterday, and there's an unsolvable problem with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I would wake up this morning and feel about as bad as you could with a win. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Discovery Plus, starting next year, U.S. only. New streaming service, exclusive originals at Discovery Plus, and stuff like the Food Network, HGTV. So, Tampa won. Yippee. But I think at this point, Tom Brady's standards are above winning games. That game against Minnesota looks a lot different if Minnesota had a good field goal kicker. It would look a lot different, totally different. Off a bye, Tampa Bay had 17 first rounds, 20 minutes time of possession, and Tom Brady completed 15 throws. Off a bye, against an average Minnesota defense that average quarterbacks have run up and down the field on. Listen, what I'm about to say is a reality. It's not a criticism. It may be viewed as both. Everybody loves Bruce Arians. He's a great guy. I mean, they asked Freddie Kitchens, remember the Cleveland coach, when he got the job? He worked with Arians. What do you remember about him? And he honestly said, he makes the best cocktail. I mean, it's funny. I don't want to hear that. So Bruce Arians retired once. Why? He was tired of the long hours. He went to CBS to be a broadcaster. He did a good job, but he never really fully committed, and it showed. And then he goes to Tampa, and he has built the biggest staff in the league to limit the grind. It's starting to show. If you look in the NFL, every other weekend, you're facing a Kyle Shanahan, a Sean McVay, a young Matt LaFleur, a Cliff Kingsbury, a Joe Judge, a Brian Flores. Young, energy, relentless, 18 hours a day, living it, breathing it, consumed by it. Consumed by it and the energy to handle it. If you're not putting in 18 hours a day, you don't get to see your kids' recitals. It's Zoom meetings. You're going to get exposed really fast in tech and even faster in the NFL. Tampa Bay has one impressive win all year. They've plateaued. They're fine. They're not bad. But they're not cleaning up their stuff. They're not cleaning it up. This is why they're inconsistent. I know Tom Brady's obsessed, but I also know Bruce Arians has retired once, has the biggest staff. I saw the broadcasting thing. Doesn't mean he can't coach. But this league, there are just certain positions that are built for young guys. Too many hours. I mean, he's got 5-6 assistants on the offensive side, and he's an offensive guy. He's got layers of different offensive coaches. I watched yesterday. They still don't have an identity. All Tampa is a collection of talented players. They got a country club feel. And the Buffalo Bills are guys that are playing on a public course, that want to get to the country club, that are hungry to get to the country club, that are putting in the hours to get to the country club, that are sacrificing to get to the country club. But the Bills are on that public course, and those teams on that public course, they are just putting in hours, chasing and chasing. Mike Evans started his career. His first 6 years in his career, he had six straight 1,000-yard seasons with Josh McCown, with Mike Glennon, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, with Jameis Winston. He's not close there with Tommy. Come on now. You see this. Like, it's not a shot at anybody. It's a reality of what they are. Off a bye. It's a lot of talk. It's a lot of chatter. It's a lot of country club stuff. I just don't see the edge here at all. I thought it was an unbelievably startling win. If the Vikings just have a field goal kicker, this game looks completely different. Here's Arians after.
I think games dictate how much you run it. What's the score at the end of the third quarter? And, you know, we were leading, so it leads to more runs. And Rojo ran really, really well, especially that last drive. And we wanted to set up some play action. Didn't hit it as many as we hoped. But, you know, that when asked early this week about our identity, I think we just showed our identity. We could do any damn thing we want to do.
Then why don't you? Off a bye. I've seen Andy Reid's teams off a bye. If they got issues, they cinch them all up. I've seen Sean Payton's teams with chaos and backup quarterback and off a bye, and they cinch that stuff off. I've seen Sean McVay's team off a bye, and they clean stuff up. This should be easier. You got Brady, the most obsessed football player of all time, and off a bye. You lose that game if the Vikings have a field goal kicker. You do. Joy of the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, it was looking like an upset there for the first 5 minutes.
Boy, I tell Dolphins. You what, there is Miami's first 5-6 minutes, almost every game I've seen this year, they give quarterbacks fits. I mean, Russell Wilson, not just every guy. At first 5 minutes, first 7-8 minutes, Mahomes was, I mean, he was struggling.
No, they're gonna come out ready to go. They overcame a 10-point early deficit to the Chiefs and four turnovers to beat the Dolphins 33-27. Three of those four turnovers were interceptions thrown by Patrick Mahomes, who had his first multi-interception game in the regular season since 2018. So, I mean, I think that stat alone is very reflective of what this Dolphins defense is.
Yes.
Like, they do cause turnovers, and Patrick Mahomes is not someone that throws interceptions. He does not turn the ball over. He also took a 30-yard sack, which is the longest sack since 2015. It was so bizarre. Like, I was like, I had to watch it again. I was like, what is he doing? Because this is not what Patrick Mahomes does. Like, he doesn't make mental errors. It was so weird.
Isn't it amazing what great defensive coaching does to even star quarterbacks?
Yeah.
You go back, Belichick against Peyton Manning. I mean, Mahomes is a wizard. In those first two or three series, he was making mistakes he has not made in a year against anybody.
And that's, like, I mean, we lean so much into offense. Like, that's all we talk about. That's all we focus on, the offensive numbers. Like, if you have a great defense, so we'll mention it in passing. But you can really see, I mean, the Dolphins are not as good of a team as the Chiefs.
And they were
obviously also
missing their top three running backs in Kyle Van Noy. When the story came out right before the game that all three running backs were out, I literally tweeted this. It's like, okay, I'm 0-1 and blazing 5. Like, that's not a game you can win. A rebuilding team missing a key component to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, they're all out. And I'm like, the fact that it was that close, if in Miami today, I'm like, I feel unbelievable about my football team.
No, I do, because, and I'm not a huge moral victory person, but I do think that the process and development is very important, especially in a young team.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't think that it was the right choice to keep Fitzpatrick in, even if it meant that they were going to win games, because that doesn't serve you in the long run, and you're not ready to win a Super Bowl right now.
Yeah.
So if you were every other position on the field and everything that was going on was positioned, you could win a Super Bowl. You just have to have a quarterback that can win you some games. okay, then maybe not see what Tua has this year. But that's not the situation the Dolphins are in. I thought they played a game against the Chiefs that was respectable, and the defense was unbelievable. Like, he gave him fits, and you never say that about Patrick Mahomes. They had 3 sacks, 7 quarterback hits, and 4,
yeah,
4 first turnovers, including
that
sack.
I'm so excited for Miami's future. The NFL is better when the Bears are good, the Niners are good, and Miami's good. They really are.
I love it. So Washington jumped into first place in the NFC East with a 23-15 win over the 49ers. They didn't score an offensive touchdown and lost Alex Smith to injury in the first half, but the defense picked up the slack, scoring 2 touchdowns in their 6th win of the season. Now they've now won 4 straight, and they control their destiny in the division. So they are at top of the NFC East at 6-7. Giants obviously lost yesterday, so they are 5-8. Eagles 4-8-1, and the Cowboys are 4-9. The rest of their schedule is not easy. They have the Seahawks next week, Lose. Then the Panthers,
win,
and at the Eagles. So the Giants' remaining schedule is not any easier. They have the Browns, at the Ravens, and then against the Cowboys.
Well, here's the good news. We know Miami found the right coach. It looks like the Giants did and Washington did. Ron Rivera's a good fit.
He's had an unbelievable season.
He's battling cancer, the quarterback chaos, and they're going to win this division. And by the way, they could end up going 500. If you look at their schedule, it's realistic to think they're going to be an 8-8 team. That's
remarkable.
Coach of the year, you could say Kevin Stefanski. Ron Rivera's got to be on your ballot. He's got to be somewhere on your ballot.
And they have a star in Chase Young. So you didn't get your quarterback this year. Alex Smith, it's a calf soreness or something in his injured leg. You know you're not going to move forward with Dwayne Haskins, even though he played a nice game yesterday. You get the quarterback and you're set. You have to feel great if you're Washington. And I wasn't sure what this team was going to be this year. He's definitely got to be in the Coach of the Year conversation. So Kevin Durant returned to the court for the first time since June of 2019 this weekend. The
internet freaked out.
They did. I don't know why, because, he's clearly coming back this season. But he shot 5 or 12 from the field, 15 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists in his Nets debut. And after the game, he said it felt good to get back out there.
I was anxious, nervous. I visualized this moment for so long, 9-10 months of just thinking about how it would be this, next phase of my career, So I felt like I was just chomping at the bit. I was going through it, so that to go through this felt solid.
I'm really happy for Kevin Durant.
I think, I gotta be honest with you, I think we underestimate as media and fans. You come off an injury, you can do all the practice you want, but you can't tell me. I don't know if I think how hard it would be. If you've ever had an injury.
Yeah.
I remember Tom Brady off his injury the entire year. You could tell.
No, it's terrifying.
He didn't want anybody near his legs.
I don't play professional sports. I tore my ACL. It took me 3 years to really feel comfortable just running again.
So
it's a huge mental hurdle to get over.
It's like you need. I would imagine that Kevin Durant would employ a therapist occasionally to talk about not thinking about screwing your leg up.
I don't know
again.
How you don't, because physically you know you're ready. Like, you've gone through therapy, you've gone through the training, you've been out there practicing, you know you're physically ready, but it's terrifying, especially if you're, think about Clay. Like, he just got back from an injury and now he's injured again. Like, that is an exhausting process to go through, to trust your body again, and then you're away from what you do for a living. Like, if we tear our Achilles or ACL, we can hobble in here and do what we do.
Kevin Durant,
they can't do that.
Scores so easily.
I'm so happy to have him back in the league.
It's the league.
Such a fun season. Kyrie Irving also hadn't played since February, had 18 points and was 7-9 from the field and 4 assists, and he did not speak to reporters after the game. So we'll see how long that goes for.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Peter Schrager, Fox Sports, great reporter for the NFL. Good Morning Football 2, opposite of us some days. Joining us now, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Yinzers are all mad at me. Pittsburgh's furious with me. And I've said before, there's many components. I respect the heck out of the Steelers. But they do remind me of the Patriots, Schrags, a little last year, where they played Baltimore on a Sunday night game and against Lamar. And boy, New England looked slow-footed. And I watched Josh Allen and the Bills last night with Pittsburgh. I'm like, okay, that Lamar and Josh Allen guy, I think the Steelers look good, but not special. Is it fair?
It's more than fair. Look, TJ Watt was amazing last night. Yeah. I was watching him and Darrell Williams go at it. TJ Watt is the real deal. He's fantastic. Minkah Fitzpatrick's great. They've had a lot of injuries. Bud Dupree is a really good player. Devin Bush is a really good player. Highsmith left last night. Then you look at the running game. It's non-existent. They couldn't get it going. And, hey, you want to do those short passes and then hope that those short pass wide receiver screens are going to work? You might want to catch the ball. And it's, you know, Pittsburgh fans are so sensitive because I get a two column because I said, I told Cam Hayward on a different show that I thought the Bills were going to win and Bills were going to win by an easy margin. And that led to, you know, everyone in hysterics in Pittsburgh. Like this team does not look like a team that's going to compete with the Chiefs or the Bills or the Colts in the coming weeks, unless they get healthy, unless their receivers can catch the ball. I'm watching Deontay Johnson here. He's got the most drops in the league per Pro Football Focus. Eric Ebron could not catch a ball in the last 2 weeks. Sorry, when your team is not playing well and looks sloppy in December, that's not a good thing. It doesn't usually just click and start working again. It's fair to be off on the Steelers right now. They don't look good, and they certainly don't look like they're going to win any games against any worthy competitors late in the season.
I said the Buffalo Bills, the Buccaneers feel like a country club team, and the Bills feel like the public course guy that wants to be a member of the country club. I think they're totally legit. And I'll say this. It may be the best coach team in football. What they have done with Josh Allen in the last 18 months, I mean, Joy and I were talking about this morning. 18 months ago, I'm like, this guy, I would never let him throw. He's terrifying. I think they're, after Kansas City, I'm not even going to say after Kansas City. I think they're completely legit. Your thoughts?
I know. I think the Chiefs would like to see any other team but the Buffalo Bills right now. They're humming. They are humming. And it's not just a one-week deal. I mean, you go back, if they don't have the Hail Mary happen, they're winners of six straight games.
Yep.
And last night, they were not good in the first half on offense, and you start to feel the ghosts of years past with Josh Allen. He threw a bad pick, and you're like, and they come out in the third quarter, and he goes Diggs, 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 Beasley, Gabriel Davis, Dawson Knox. He completes 11 passes in a row in wintry weather, like it was sleeting out there, and he's throwing darts. I tell you, this Josh Allen, he has had his moments where you wonder, all right, can I trust this guy? In the last month or so, I'm done questioning it. He is as good as any other quarterback under 30 outside of Mahomes. I might take Josh Allen. You know, forget might. This is what we're doing. We're on the herd. I would take Josh Allen over Deshaun Watson. I would take Josh Allen over Kyler Murray. I would take Josh Allen over Joe Burrow right now if I'm building a team. He is that dialed in, and he's had the experiences of 2 years, ups and downs, where you feel like he's fully blossoming. I love watching this kid throw the ball, and I love watching him lead his team. They really believe in him. Colin, the Chiefs are the best team in the AFC and the NFL right now. The Bills might be a close second.
Yeah. You know, it's I look at Jalen Hurts and I, you know, my feeling is it was fun. They had an identity. They're watchable. you know, I think it was kind of the same team playing each other. Obviously, the Saints are better, but it's this kind of unique quarterback that can do things the person they replace can't. I don't know what it looks like in a month. Maybe Taysom Hill does solve the Breeze retiring issue. Jalen Hurts, if his good, still doesn't solve the we have a ton of money to pay Carson Wentz issue. Wrap a bow on what you saw with Philadelphia, what your sources say, what it means this morning.
Yeah, I speak to a lot of folks in Philly, both in the week leading up to the game and then last night after the win, which they were all ecstatic for. What Jalen Hurts was able to do yesterday was not only lift the team and give a new energy, he was able to kickstart the running game, which has always been a strength for Philadelphia and just wasn't working with Carson Wentz. So Hurts goes for 100 yards rushing, only the second rookie to ever do that in his debut since Lamar Jackson, or the only other one is Lamar Jackson. And then Miles Sanders showed up for the first time all season. We were wondering where Miles Sanders is because the offense can run the ball now. It's mobile. Is he the long-term answer? I don't know. But for the short term and for the near future, I sure think Jalen Hurts, Philly was watchable. They were watchable, and they were up in this one, and Jalen Hurts brought a different juice. This kid's played in big games before. We know his college career is very decorated and the Heisman finalist and all that. But Carson Wentz was leading a flat Eagles team that had zero running game. Jalen Hurts led an inspired Eagles team that suddenly had 200-yard rushers against the number one defense in the league. Got to think Jalen Hurts is the quarterback for at least the next couple weeks and most likely the remainder of the season. Off season, we'll deal with that then. But like you said, Carson Wentz, due $25 million no matter what by the Eagles next year, and a $60 million cap hit for the Eagles on their salary cap.
We never want to overreact on Monday. The Saints lost to the Eagles. Last week, the Giants shocked the Seahawks. We've seen the Raiders beat Kansas City. You know, I say this about parenting. The days are long, but the years fly by. And in the NFL, Sundays are crazy. And then the season's kind of predictable when it's older. So let's not overreact. But I will say this, that tonight feels substantial with the Cleveland Browns. So to me, it feels substantial. So we had two teams last week, Shregs. The Giants upset Seattle. Young coach, young team. They laid an egg yesterday. The Bills had a huge win last week. Niners, they did not lay an egg. I feel like Cleveland is going to be the tiebreaker. Huge franchise win last week. What do we expect from the Browns tonight?
I'm not kissing your butt when I say this. No one's better at doing this. You set the stage so well because you're right. You have those two teams and you have the pro and the con. You've got the Bills and you got the Giants where you're like, the Browns to me, it's not just this week, Colin. They're on prime time next week on Sunday night. So you now have a 2-week span here. 6 days where you've got Monday night against the Ravens and then a Sunday night game that NBC flexed into for week 15. Do you know what that means? That means you are a marquee team. Do not lay an egg. Please don't lay an egg. Don't be the same old Browns. And yet the Ravens ran all over them week one. The Ravens looked a little better last week against Dallas. Yep. The Ravens had a bad strain of COVID that they're now finally getting out of the haze of that. I don't know what to expect. I'm not making a prediction as far as win losses. I just think that this is the biggest Browns game in maybe 20 years.
Yes.
And Colin, you set the stage perfectly. And if they lose, everyone's going to fly from the bandwagon. They're on Sunday night. And if they lose twice to the Ravens and the Giants, well, then we are in the same old Browns territory. And we're talking about whether or not they're even making the playoffs. A huge game tonight, especially against a division rival that's just beaten up on them over the last few years.
I know it's getting cold and it's all these Northeast games and these Clevelands and Baltimores. The sport just keeps giving and giving and giving to us. Peter Schrager, he's also got a New York Times bestseller, Out of the Blue. He's on our Fox NFL Kickoff, a rising star, is a star. We absolutely love having you on the show, buddy. Thanks.
You're the best, Colin. Thanks for having me on a Monday.
You bet. I'll give you my prediction on the Browns tonight and what I expect, plus Colin right, Colin wrong. And also, are we sure the Chiefs are the best team in this league? Something happened yesterday, and I'm not sure. We're paying attention to it. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Holiday season is here. It felt like the holiday season last night at my house. Can you be addicted to oatmeal raisin cookies? I'm going to ask somebody on that because the thing is, I don't eat cookies unless you make them for me.
Yeah.
And then if you put them in front of me, I'm mostly a disciplined person. There is something about the combination of oatmeal and raisins. I can't stop. I've had two this morning. I can't stop.
You had two this
big,
morning?
Big, huge, gigantic, not healthy, not even interested.
Oh, my God.
I can't stop it. I could have four more. It's just, it's a problem. Okay, so, you know, we say this. There are bad wins. I thought Tampa's win is concerning off a bye. And there are concerning, and then there are losses that you kind of feel good about. Like, okay, we're getting there. So Kansas City, I got very lucky. I won this in Blazing Five in a backdoor cover. Got very lucky. But in the last 5 days, Kansas City is not dialed in. This is concerning. In their last five games, now this is a gambling thing, but it does translate to real football. They're 0-5 against the spread. What does that mean? That if you look at the numbers, the people who do this, the Fox bet, the professionals who do this, they're underachieving. They're not playing up to who they are. And five straight one possession wins over not a lot of great teams. Yesterday is a prime example. Miami was missing their three best running backs. They had three rookies playing on the offensive line. These scout team guys. Their wide receivers were Mac Hollins and Lydon Bowden and Jaleen Grant. They got 370 yards. They got more first downs than Kansas City. They won time of possession against Kansas City. You're talking about Tua, hadn't played football for a year and a half, has a handful of starts, was benched, they bring him back. Three rookies on the offensive line. Your fourth or fifth best running back, Devontae Parker's your best receiver. I don't think he played in the second half. This should have been over. This is one of the, this is the Jags yesterday. That's what it should have been. And the last time the Chiefs beat somebody by more than a touchdown was the Jets. Like, and you saw the Jets yesterday. By the second series, the game was over. So I look at that yesterday. I don't know how it was that close. I do not believe this morning Kansas City is the best football team in America. I do not. They should be. They could be. They maybe be. They're not. That's not the best football team in America. Giving up 370 yards to three rookie offensive linemen, running backs that probably should play in another league like XFL, CFL, or something FL. And it was in the end of that game. Once again, it got kind of uncomfortable. So it's not a knock on them. It's just a reality of, I don't think Kansas City is buttoned up. Now, we do have a history of certain teams flipping a switch, but a lot of times, like the LA Clippers, you can't, right? Like, most of the time, electric teams can flip a switch. Not all the time. A couple years ago, the Golden State Warriors, in my opinion, were down 3-2, would have lost to the Rockets if Chris Paul doesn't get hurt. They could not flip the switch. They just got comfortable with winning. Offense was too easy. They got into a series with an energized team that matched up well, the Rockets. And if Chris Paul didn't get hurt, Houston winning that series. The other thing is, I want to talk about the Cleveland Browns because they play tonight. And again, so the Giants came off a huge win with a young coach and a young quarterback laid an egg yesterday. And then Buffalo, young coach, young quarterback, played great last week. They had a big game yesterday and looked terrific, at least in the second half. So here's Cleveland. Cleveland last week went to Nashville, beat the Titans. To me, it felt like the biggest win for Cleveland in 10 years. I mean, I don't have it in front of me, but it felt like a big win. So now tonight, how do you react? This goes back to Trent Dilfer, always told me this. Everybody reacts to losses the same way. The NFL, how do you react to wins? Some guys, it's just too much. And then let me start with this. I won the Baker Mayfield argument. He's not a number one pick. The reason I like Cleveland tonight, and I do like them close, is because they're Kevin Stefanski's team. And how do I know that? They don't talk. They're mature. They're cerebral. They're grown up. And Cleveland, I predicted last year they'd be kind of a mess. They were. I didn't buy into Freddie Kitchens or the GM John Dorsey. This year I've predicted they're a playoff team, and it looks like they're going to win 9-10 games. I like Cleveland tonight. And the reason I like them, they're not Baker Mayfield's team. They are Kevin Stefanski's team. And what's interesting about tonight is that when you play divisional games, it really shows you who you are. Because they know your personnel and you know theirs. And nobody's fooling anybody. Everybody knows the other guy's playbook. This is going to come down to intelligence, emotional discipline. These are all the things we've worried about Cleveland. We've never worried about Cleveland's talent. That is not the issue. Tonight, divisional games come down to emotional maturity, emotional discipline, intelligence, guile, all the little stuff that wins games. And Baltimore historically has been really good at all the little glue stuff. So a divisional game really either unravels or exposes you. A win tonight by Baltimore, I don't care if a win tonight by Cleveland, I don't care if it's in triple overtime, says a lot more than a win over even a team equal to Baltimore out of division. To play a division rival and to beat them tells me this isn't, everybody knows everybody's players here. Nobody's fooling anybody. Bama, LSU, y'all recruited the same players. USC, UCLA, you're recruiting the same players. You've seen all the tape, you know the plays, you play every year, it's different. There's no, this is not SEC versus Pac-12 or Big Ten against Big 12 or, you know, Patriots coming out west taking on Chargers. No surprises here. All the little glue stuff is going to matter, and that's what we always doubt about Cleveland. I don't tonight because I think it's Kevin Stefanski's team, and I think he's on a short list of coaches of the year. So I can't wait. This is a great Monday night football game. And I'll tell you, the weather, apparently I read this morning, is just a bunch of nonsense everywhere. It's just mostly terrible. I'm sitting there last night, and I'm watching that game. It felt so NFL. Tonight is going to feel so NFL. There are games. I mean, yesterday Atlanta and the Chargers is just a bunch of chaos and interceptions late, and you're like, this is a circus. Tonight's going to feel so true to the NFL brand. It is just going to be tough and physical and running. And the game, You better watch it because it's going to be over in about 90 minutes. It's the top two rushing teams. They're going to eat the clock up. I think both teams will mostly take the ball to the quarterback's hands, run downhill, quick game. First quarter will be done in 20 minutes, and I'll take the Browns to win by a field goal or less. But Cleveland, as always, I got your back. All right, hour two on a Monday. Colin right, Colin wrong. In L.A., it's the Herd.